commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is the Contracting Experience. Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this episode of The Contracting Experience, we sit down with Ms. Sarah Leslie and Mr. Nate Armstrong, who are the co-chairs of the Tri-Center Trainee Organization at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base called CHANGE. Sarah and Nate share their insights leading this organization, as well as the benefits and opportunities that CHANGE provides. Also joining us is Mr. Josh Beidle, who is one of the advisors of CHANGE, who shares his role in leading, mentoring, and advising this trainee organization. Josh will also share his insights on recent trends regarding the recruitment and retention of our trainee workforce. Welcome, Sarah, Nate, and Josh. Thanks for joining us. Let's start off with some brief introductions. Sarah, let's start with you. Can you please tell us a little about yourself, how long you've been in the government contracting business, and how you became involved in CHANGE?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you, Rob, for having Nate and Josh and I on the podcast today. We're super excited to be here. I have been in government contracting for 2 years now, as of the 5th of December, and it has been a fast 2 years. My first office was AFL-CMC PZICA, which is Construction Services. It was a great first office as far as a buyer because it's a cradle-to-grave office, meaning I had the opportunity to move through each contract action within an acquisition, so from solicitation to closeout. And it was such a fun office with some of the best people that I'm still keeping in touch with, so that's been a gift. And then in July of this year, I rotated to AFRL RXKMC, which supports the RXN division, which is the composite, ceramic, metallic, and materials performance. And as a new buyer, I started attending the CHANGE coffee break chats and information sessions to learn more about Wright-Pat and its leadership. And I found those sessions to be super helpful, especially as someone who was new to contracting, new to the government. It really just kind of immersed me within Wright-Pat. And then after that, I started signing up for volunteer opportunities offered through CHANGE, like Four Paws, which is an organization in Xenia, Shoes for the Shoeless, and I even served on the holiday planning committee within my first year here. So that was super fun, getting to meet trainees from other offices and getting to have a hand in planning something as big as the PK holiday party. And this all kind of led to me throwing my hat in the ring for one of the co-chair positions, and have had the pleasure to serve in that role for the last year. So it's been fun.
All right. Excellent, Sarah. Yeah, thanks for that rundown in history. And thanks again for being so involved in CHANGE and making a difference in the community. That's awesome. So, Nate, same question. Tough act to follow. Can you give our listeners a little background on yourself and how you became involved in CHANGE?
Sure, Rob. And thanks for having us on this podcast. We appreciate the opportunity to share with the PK community the work that CHANGE takes on day to day to support the PK trainees and the workforce. I've been with the government for 17 months, and currently I'm in my first rotation with AFL-CMC WLNK, which supports the awesome C-130 program. I've really enjoyed working with my team on various programs that supports the C-130 mission, and I am slotted to rotate soon, so I'm a little bit nervous for my first rotation board and the eventual change in office, but I'm looking forward to the change and learning more about being a contract specialist. Similar to Sarah, as a new buyer, my first experiences with CHANGE were attending the coffee break chats and the information sessions for trainees. And then I was asked to volunteer with the holiday party. And so I was excited to work with a great group of people. They actually just had me do the holiday music, so it was pretty easy. I just had to put a playlist together. But after attending the November information session, I became interested in participating with CHANGE. I was a little hesitant at first to join. I was only a trainee with 4 months of experience, so I didn't really feel like I was qualified, but I was encouraged by the board and my supervisor to take the plunge. So I threw my name in the hat, and I'm really glad I did and excited to be a part of the CHANGE team.
And Josh, you've been in the government a bit longer than Nate and Sarah. In fact, I remember when you were one of our trainees in the Air Force Research Lab, and now you're one of the advisors to the trainees. So that is awesome. That's a great way to give back. Really appreciate you doing that. Can you tell us a little bit about your role with Change and how you became one of their advisors?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Rob. And thanks for letting us be a part of the show and to come in here and talk about Change and all it has to offer. So I serve as one of the advisors for Change alongside Angelica Hibbert from AFRL PKX. Now, I mention her because Change has become sort of more inclusive at the trainee level, we're also working to ensure that there is more representation of contracting centers at the advisor level as well. So up until about a year and a half ago, there was only one advisor, and that person came from AFL-CMC PKXA. So it's really great that now we have AFRL representation as well. So as advisors, our job is to act as guardrails to the co-chairs, the executive committee, and the group as a whole. Now, typically, we will attend various meetings, we'll make ourselves available to them to answer any questions that they may have, we may inform them of various applicable policy, we may provide insight based upon our experiences. I guess one example of this is Change acts as a private organization on RightPath, and as such, it has to abide by several AFIs or Air Force instructions that regulate private organizations in order for them to operate or do anything on base. Now, as the Change board turns over, which is about to do here soon, I help the new board understand what it means to be a private organization and what those AFIs require. Now, going back to your second question about my involvement with Change, I first got involved with the predecessor of Change, which was something called ACTIV when I was a trainee back in AFRL several years ago. Back then, there were two organizations actually that made up what we now know as Change. So ACTIV was focused on the networking and the programming side of things, and CARE, they mostly focused on the service aspect of things. I served in ACTIV during the entirety of my trainee program and actually ended up leading the AFL-CMC PK holiday party and became a co-chair of ACTIV as well. Now, during my time in ACTIV and in the trainee program, I worked in AFRL, as you mentioned, the KC-46 program office, and then I went into a special access program. So I was able to get a lot of really great experience during that time. Being part of ACTIV was such a great and rewarding opportunity, though, that when I came back over to workforce development in PKX 2 years ago, and I was given the opportunity to serve as an advisor of Change, and there was absolutely no way that I could say no to that. I was more than happy to get involved with it.
All right. Nate, Sarah, and Josh, welcome to the podcast once again. Thanks for those introductions. So, all right, now that we know a little bit about each of you, let's dive into what exactly is Change. I know it's an acronym, but it's not one of those easy to recall, roll off the tongue sort of acronyms. Sarah, can you break down for us what Change stands for and what went into the naming convention?
Yeah, you are correct. It is not an easy to recall acronym. So CHANGE stands for Community Helping Through Action and Networking Toward the Greatness of Our Environment. And although Nate and I weren't around for the naming of this organization, I have to imagine that this was just the best way to capture everything that the group exists for, which is essentially just to get the trainees in front of leadership and other trainees for networking opportunities, as well as to provide opportunities for them to serve the community that we work in. So, I think that's kind of, like I said, the easiest way to get all of that into one acronym.
All right. No, great stuff. And Nate, can you tell us a little bit more about the organization, like its purpose, its goals, how many people participate, who can be a member? What does the organization provide?
Well, I have to say there's a lot in that question that you just asked me. There's quite a few components there. I guess really the best way to answer is to share the mission and vision of the Change. So our mission is to offer the RightPath PK trainees the opportunity to distinguish themselves through service to their fellow trainees, PK leadership, and also really the base at large. Now, our vision is to unite trainees while creating opportunities to interact, network, and to serve the base and the surrounding communities. So we really try to promote the abilities and enhance the reputation of the trainees while simultaneously serving as an example for other private organizations on the base looking to excel in the areas of fundraising event planning and community outreach. Now, in terms of participation, that is a little more difficult to answer. So when we look at our Teams channel, we currently have 232 members that participate in a number of different information sessions and different events. However, we also are responsible for PK-wide events and fundraising activities that are open to the entire RIPAT Air Force PK workforce. So for example, we had our annual bowling event that was this past March, and we attracted over 450 participants. So while membership is technically limited to current PK trainees in the training program, we consider supporters like Josh and Angelica to be a part of our membership as well. So our organization currently is led by a team of 9 trainees, including Sarah and myself as co-chairs. So I can speak to my position as the co-chair of events. My responsibilities include planning 3 PK-wide events, which include the bowling event that occurred in March, which I just mentioned. We also host a summer event. So this year we actually did a family Young's Jersey Dairy Day in July, and then we do the holiday party in December. So those are 3 PK-wide events that we host. And then I also organize numerous events exclusively for PK trainees, providing opportunities for networking and community building within the PK community. So that's a lot to take in there as far as what my role is, but I'll let Sarah share some more about her role as the volunteering and fundraising co-chair.
Yeah. So as the co-chair of volunteering and fundraising, I oversee and advise on really just all fundraising and volunteer events that go through Change, addressing related questions and concerns as they come up. So my responsibilities include coordinating volunteer opportunities by recruiting, planning points of contact, assisting with volunteer recruitment, and ensuring that at least 2 volunteer events are held per quarter. So that's always our goal, is to have 2 for the trainees to participate in. And then in addition to these duties, Nate and I host 2 regular events within Change, which are the monthly information sessions and coffee break chats. The information sessions we hold on the second Wednesday of each month via Teams, and they feature guest speakers presenting on topics relevant to trainees' career growth and development. And these sessions are designed to be informal and informative, and are just providing trainees with really valuable insights and tools. And then the coffee break chats are held on the fourth Wednesday of each month, and they offer trainees an opportunity to engage with senior leaders from the organization in a super relaxed and informal setting. And during these calls, trainees can ask any questions or seek advice from experienced leaders, and it really helps foster a sense of community and connection within the organization.
And Josh, back to you as the advisor. So Wright-Patterson Air Force Base also has a junior force council of about 5,000 officer, enlisted, and civilian personnel. But I believe Change is much more specific to the contracting trainee population on base, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So junior force council, as you mentioned, JFC, it's another great organization for newer employees to get involved with. I believe it's for anyone with 10 years or less of federal service, and it's made up of anyone non-supervisory, including officer, enlisted, and civilian personnel of all different functionals. Change, however, and as you pointed out, is focused on the contracting trainee population, so those that are GS-12 Step 2s and below. What's great about this is that it really allows those trainees to network with other 1102s, learn from their senior PK leaders, hone in on their craft, all while giving back to their Wright-Patt and Dayton communities. It also provides opportunities to get face-to-face meetings with senior leadership at the NPK that they otherwise just wouldn't get.
All right, excellent. Thanks, Josh. So Sarah and Nate, with you co-chairing Change and having a lot of interaction with some of our newer workforce members, what are you hearing? What do they love about Air Force contracting, and what are their biggest concerns? Let's again start off with Sarah, and then we'll go to Nate.
Yeah, so being co-chair of Change is such a unique opportunity as a trainee, because I am both living the life of a trainee and also receiving and trying to manage the feedback that I'm hearing from them as well. And so as far as things that I'm hearing that trainees love is that they love the work-life balance and the benefits that come with this job. It really is unbeatable as far as jobs in the area go. And the trainees, myself included, are super thankful to have the opportunity to work here. And they also really love the opportunity to support the Air Force mission and learn more about their role as a buyer within that bigger picture. And then as far as concerns go, I am just in the last couple of weeks have been hearing and picking up on some of the nervousness that is being centered around what we're hearing as far as telework and the very possible return to in-person work. The opportunity to work from home is why a lot of us trainees and otherwise took and enjoy our jobs. And so I think as far as the trainees go, we're just kind of anxiously awaiting for more information on the Air Force telework posture.
Yeah, as a co-chair, you know, we have numerous opportunities to interact with all the trainees. And so I love, you know, sitting down with folks and just talking to them and, you know, seeing what they do on their day to day and, you know, the challenges they're seeing. And we always encourage them to reach out with any questions or concerns that they may have. So I would echo the comments that Sarah made. You know, the trainees appreciate the work-life balance and benefits that come with this job. Additionally, we have the opportunity to support a wide range of innovative programs across the Air Force and contribute to the mission of supporting the warfighter, which is crucial. I recall when I first started working with the C-130 program, our leadership shared a video of a C-130 airdropping, you know, critical supplies that were needed in an area of the world. And it really is, you know, rewarding to see the impact my role has on the day-to-day activities of the Air Force. Now, during our coffee chats with senior leaders and during our networking events, we consistently seem to receive two questions. And Sarah mentioned the first one is like, what are you hearing about telework? It seems like it comes up with every meeting we're in, and it's always brought up, and there's always a concern there. But another one that I've recently started noticing is, you know, with a new administration coming into the White House and also with, you know, new Air Force leadership coming in, you know, they're like, what can we expect for our positions? For many of the trainees, you know, this is the first major transition. And as a result, there seems to be some uncertainty and concern about their expectations. So it's just a matter of just trying to figure that out. And you know, it's change is always hard. So it's always a great thing. So yeah, that's what I have.
And Josh, again, as the advisor, do you have anything to add, or you may be seeing or hearing anything different?
Well, as you know, working in some place like PKXA, you certainly hear things all the time from the workforce. Now, I can't speak for the members of the workforce in AFRL or AFICC, but I know there are a lot of things that our workforce love. First is the fact that our career field is just so dynamic. You could be buying enterprise-wide software in one office and then buying next-generation aircraft in another. Additionally, we hire from all backgrounds, and in a lot of those career fields, people often find their careers plateauing. Here, they're able to continue to promote, seek out career broadeners, as well as other unique opportunities. They also know that they're going to get top-tier training that will set them up for a successful career in federal acquisitions. Also here, you have the opportunity to work for one of the coolest missions out there. Our workforce is truly passionate about what they do because they know it of the impact that it makes on our warfighters and our national security. Also, as the DoD's largest acquisition center, the workforce knows that they are able to work on some of the biggest and most important DoD programs out there. Now, of course, not everything is roses and butterflies. Our workforce definitely has some concerns, and they are legitimate ones. This past year has been a very interesting one for AFL-CMCPK. Our very popular senior contracting official, Mr. Tony Braswell, retired, and it will likely be a few months before a successor is chosen and enrolled. We are also in the midst of a center realignment that we continue to learn more about. Add on the fact that we will be fully transitioning from general schedule to acquisition demonstration positions in July 2025 for all non-centrally funded positions. With the advent of telework and the focus on work-life balance, our classified offices are struggling to retain the talent needed to sustain U.S.'s most important programs in terms of national security. Also, there are concerns about what telework will look like in the future. Lastly, and this is a big one, having such a highly trained workforce can be both a blessing and a curse. Other agencies know that we have a highly trained workforce, and they continue to recruit from it, creating a growing number of vacancies at the GS-13 and NH-03 level. However, people continue to want to work for AFL-CMCPK, and this is evident if you look at two facts. First, we are hiring at or near attrition for our junior workforce. And second, When we posted two remote announcements over this past year, we received over 900 applicants for the first announcement and over 1,300 for the second. Our problem really isn't finding people to grow in the workforce, it's having senior leadership find ways to retain the experienced members of our workforce. All these concerns that I just mentioned are all hitting at once, which creates a cloud of uncertainty for our workforce. One thing that I have noticed, though, is that while in PKX, our workforce is smart, tough, and resilient. Our workforce knows the work still needs to get done, regardless of the number of vacancies that we have. As a result, our trainees are getting a lot of amazing opportunities and experiences that trainees were not getting a few years ago, and this is helping them grow their business acumen and making them true acquisition professionals. Finally, our workforce knows that the concerns I just talked about are temporary issues. They will get resolved by our senior leaders, and so our workforce will be able to continue focusing on serving the warfighter.
That's excellent, Josh. Great rundown, both on the positive and, you know, some of the challenge that we face. And I think you could probably do a recap at the end of every year with, hey, this year was so difficult because of XYZ. But as you pointed out, the resiliency of our workforce just continues to shine year after year. And I really appreciate the fact that you highlighted so many positives about being on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, all the opportunities that abound. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we are the best of the best, and we work at the best place. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, for everything else, first world problems, as they say, right?
Exactly.
So let's do another round. Sarah and Nate, based on your perceptions, if we could change one thing about the experience we provide to new hires in their first, say, 3 years, what would they like to see changed? Or maybe what have we already recognized and changed based on their feedback? Let's switch it up this time. Nate, why don't you take the lead on this one, and then Sarah can follow up.
Sure. So, you know, it's hard for me because I'm still early in my career. I've only got 17 months of experience with the government, and I'm currently in my first rotation. So based on my own experience and the limited conversations I've had with others at change events, I can attest that starting a career in PK can be overwhelming. With so much information being thrown at you, it's just easy to feel lost and isolated. And you can really get that drinking from the fire hose feeling. You know, you're getting blasted with a lot of things, but you just don't seem to feel like you're getting a drink there. So I think that's why it's really crucial to have a strong support network and a solid training plan to guide you in the right direction. Being a part of change, I've had the opportunity to work with the Jumpstart team on brainstorming resources that can be provided to new hires, giving them a clear roadmap to prepare for Jumpstart classes and other DAU trainings. As a member of the Change Outreach team, I've also had the opportunity to present at Jumpstart training. So I see firsthand some of the positive impacts of some of the implemented changes that we've had. I would encourage everyone to remember the importance of the PK family and the value of our culture and camaraderie. Please take the time to reach out to trainees, ask them how they're doing, and give them the opportunity to ask questions. I recall a spring trainee event that we held where a new employee was sitting alone at a table and they looked a little bit lost. And so our group invited them to join us, and we later found out that this individual had only been with the organization for 3 weeks. So after the event, this person, you know, left with a lot of new connections and a support system, which is exactly what we should strive to provide for all of our new team members.
Yeah, so something that I've seen be recognized and changed already is the structure of Jumpstart. Jumpstart is a great opportunity for trainees here at Wright-Patt that I know is not being offered at other bases. So we're super thankful to have it as a resource. The feedback I've heard from other trainees is that Jumpstart can create some challenges within their workload, within our workload, in its previous format, which was phase one was a week long. And then we return to the office for a few weeks to months, depending on how quickly you can get into phase two. And then phase two was 2 weeks, and then we'd come back to the office again. And the same with MRC 103 and phase three. So the back and forth made the workload a little challenging to stay up to date on, just because, you know, we would come back and check our emails and then have to follow up with our wonderful coworkers who would cover for us and just make sure that everything got handled or we're following up on things that didn't get handled. And so I think it maybe allowed for the opportunity for some things to get lost in the sauce a little bit. And there's also a lot of value in on-the-job training within our offices because each office is so different. So I think the trainees are really appreciating the new Jumpstart format, which from what I understand combines phases one and two together. So they're in those cohorts together and then they'll come back and then they really just have MRC 103 left and then phase three. So I think it is making their workload a little bit more manageable.
And Josh, you've been in the game a while and you've seen several rounds of these trainee cycles. So personally, I can't believe that I just briefed at Jumpstart 52 yesterday, and I can remember getting some of my first trainees out of Jumpstart 2. So clearly, we put in place a great program that has a lot of successes, and it's enabled a lot of folks to, quote, jumpstart their government career. But do you have anything to add on to Nate and Sarah here? What might be one thing that we might want to look into changing, or maybe something that we've already changed for the better?
You know, it blows my mind every single time I hear a new Jumpstart number because they just keep on going up and up. I was in Jumpstart 14 and that was 11 years ago, and it kind of makes me feel old. Not gonna lie. You know, now we have six Jumpstart classes a year. We used to only have four. And our Jumpstart class sizes are actually growing. So we've actually had to move to a different classroom. You know, being in PKX, we get, we see some things and everything like that. And I've seen other bases and agencies reach out to try and steal our secret sauce on how we conduct our Jumpstart program because it is such a unique and successful program. The program provides formal and on-the-job training as well as an opportunity to do multiple rotations, which gives the rotatees a true chance to learn about different types of acquisitions. And even beyond Jumpstart, RightPath offers such a wide array of opportunities for training for our PK community. It's unreal. If there's an area that you're struggling in or wanting to find out more about, I guarantee there are multiple trainings out there for any given topic that you're able to access. Now, if we take a step back and look outside of training, and this is from my perspective, I think one thing that we can always continue to improve upon is the number of touch points with the workforce. As we work in a telework dominant posture, creating those touch points is crucial for forming those bonds and creating an inclusive culture. I feel like one thing that you always hear about is that with teleworking is that you kind of lose those connections with others that you had in office because you miss out on those ad hoc conversations and that sense of togetherness. Totally understand. Where we've seen great success with telework, including remote telework, though, is in those offices that increase the number of touch points with their employees to make them feel together, even when they're apart geographically. It kind of seems like being a bit more intentional really can pay dividends with this. I think Change has done a great job of creating more events, both virtually and in person, and in doing so, they've also created a lot more touch points, which has really helped foster networking and relationships among those trainees and the workforce at large. So, you know, as more trainees join Change and as their fundraisers grow, which always pay attention to those, I really hope that we're able to continue to create new touch points.
All right. Yeah. Great point with the touch points. And again, just really the importance of being involved in Change, right? Old proverb, the coal removed from the fire grows cold, right? So we want to keep all those coals warm and toasty, if you will.
Absolutely. We got to stay hot, hot, hot here.
All right. Great stuff. Let's do one more round with a similar type of question. Again, based on your perceptions and what you're hearing from the trainees, what is one thing that works extremely well that we definitely should not change? Sarah, let's start with you on this one, and then Nate can follow up.
Yeah, when I was first considering this question, I was like, should I answer with my first thought? And I just went for it. So sorry, Rob, but not to self-promote. But I really think that Change is a great resource for trainees. Nowhere else do trainees have the opportunity to casually engage with so many different folks in leadership and have access to so many trainings that are tailored to their experience as a trainee, while also meeting other trainees across base and serving with them around the Dayton area. So you just have so many points of contact within change that the trainees have access to. And change provides a chance for trainees to really be fully immersed at RightPath and sets them up well to create lasting relationships across base if they take advantage of everything change offers.
Yeah, I mean, I believe PK leadership is doing an excellent job of fostering a culture of community and camaraderie, which really aligns perfectly with the values that change promotes. So, you know, Sarah kind of stole some thunder there. You know, change is an awesome organization. And so we provide a lot of different things for the trainees. Our outreach team effectively communicates the benefits of what we call the fine print, which includes the opportunity for every trainee to volunteer with a PK trainee organization. As outlined in our training plan, each trainee is allotted 8 hours per quarter to participate in volunteer work that supports our community. So these events and volunteer opportunities typically take place during core work hours and are considered an alternate duty location, which really allows the trainees to give back while still being considered on the clock. And I will say senior leadership has strongly encouraged people and trainees to participate in change and be an active part of the PK family.
And Josh, again, you've seen the cycles for a few years now. What do you think when it comes to change, quote, change, is there anything that is working really well that we don't want to mess with?
All right. So in addition to what you just heard Sarah and Nate said, I believe one thing that we should not change is the opportunity to provide feedback with the trainee program. Feedback is so essential to continue to make Jumpstart the success and value-added program that it is today. Trainees have multiple opportunities to provide feedback, and I can tell you we definitely listen to it here in PKX. One example, they have a survey at the end of Jumpstart, and actually because of it, we changed the timeline as well as the content of Jumpstart just based upon that feedback that we received. In addition to that, trainees are also given 2 surveys a year about the trainee program. Now, if you're a Copper Cap, you actually get 3, so apologies. One of those is actually for AFPC, so that's outside my control. Trainees also have the opportunity to take part in a trainee rotation board. Highly recommend that if you're training listening, that you do this. This is where you get to sit in front of a panel of senior leaders and discuss your goals and everything that you want to get out of the trainee program. They're pretty informal, but you do have to dress up. You still be respectful that it's senior leaders that you're addressing, but it's a great opportunity for them. In addition to this, PKX also, we make ourselves available and are happy to talk to any trainee who has something on their mind. Our team of Mark Evans, Christina Hodgkinson-Hetzel, Emily Schaefer, Nick Davison, Rachel Cycli, Diana Crawford, and Lance Sorensen are all passionate about helping our trainees and our workforce. And the same is true of Joel Harvey and Rachel Cycli with Jumpstart. We are all here for you. And if you have any questions or feedback, come to us. Also, trainees also have their chain of command to provide feedback to as well. We truly love feedback because it is a great vector check to see what we are doing right and where we can improve to give trainees the best experience possible. So please help us help you by providing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, feedback, absolutely essential, both up and down that chain of command, right? I mean, if you can grumble in your cube about something, but then don't be surprised if nothing ever happens, right? Voice your concerns, of course, you know, respectfully and all of that, but don't expect change if you don't, you know, ask for change, quote, right?
Yeah. And I think some people have the misconception that they're a squeaky wheel if they provide feedback. You know, we're all adults. You know, we acknowledge that there are things that we can improve on. So that includes maybe the trainee program. So, you know, voice your concerns and we'll pay attention to it.
No, absolutely. And that's evident with the changes that you have implemented. So, yeah, thanks for being receptive to feedback and once again, calling for it and doing something with it. So hitting on all cylinders there. So, Josh, that brings up another question to mind as it relates to the all-important topic of employee retention, right, especially among our trainee workforce. So I've got a two-part question here. So first off, do you see a higher probability of retention if folks are actively involved with change? And as a bonus, can you share maybe some of the top reasons that trainees choose to leave the government? I'm guessing that might be captured on exit surveys somewhere. So what do you think?
All right. So looking at the first question, all I can really provide is anecdotal. We don't really have any data that would capture sort of what you're looking for. Now, that being said, I really think that those who get involved in change are probably more likely to stay. They are individuals who show initiative and leadership qualities. They've made personal investment in the Air Force by providing their time to help make the trainee and PK experience better for everyone. They likely have had more connections and relationships with their colleagues through their work and change. And they're also likely to have received some form of recognition for their work as well. So I think if you look at those factors together, I would guess it results in a higher retention with these individuals. Now, with regards to that second question, PKXA does offer optional exit interviews. Now, I want to foot stop. These are optional. We don't go out and, you know, demand them on people. We are only able to track those that let us know they're leaving, or if we find out someone is leaving from one of the HRLs in DZK. That being said, over the past 2 years, we have seen a couple of trends for our GS-12 and below employees. First, while we are still struggling with our GS-13 vacancies, our GS-12 retention numbers have been pretty strong over the past several years. In fact, we've actually seen a decrease in departing GS-12s and below since the spring of this year. And I think reason why we have such strong retention numbers for this demographic has a lot to do with the solid recruiting that we've done over the past several years. We've been able to identify people that really fit in and who saw an 1102 career as one with a lot of potential. This includes people with backgrounds that you wouldn't really expect to be interested in contracting, truthfully. And I can give you some examples here. So two such groups that come to mind, law enforcement and teachers. We found a lot of success in hiring people with these backgrounds. And I think there's some reasons for it. So law enforcement, they're used to a lot of regulations, following chains of command, conflict resolution, and filling out a lot of paperwork. Teachers, on the other hand, they have great soft skills, they're patient, and communication skills, and they're also very well-versed in planning, multitasking, and dealing with regulations. So, I mean, those are all aspects that, when you think of an 1102, those things come to mind, right? Also, earlier I mentioned backgrounds where previous careers plateaued. This is also the case for teachers in law enforcement. So going into an 1102 career really opens up opportunities for them for growth. We also offer robust training that is focused on our junior workforce, which is another reason why I think we're able to retain so many people. So the other big trend that I've noticed since being in charge of exit interviews is the actual reason for why our junior workforce leaves. It used to be telework that being the main factor for why people were leaving. But over the past year, the main reason has kind of shifted to compensation. Now, with all the changes occurring for PK at WrightPat, such as the potential return to work posture, I believe that our numbers will likely shift again, and the factors for leaving will probably also shift.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Jared. That's some really tremendous insight that a lot of us just don't hear a lot about. And again, great news on how we've improved employee retention, some creative recruiting there with some, a different populace. And it looks like, a positive outlook in keeping that trend going forward. And who knows what that telework posture might be. But going back to a previous answer, our workforce is so resilient. I'm sure we can adapt. We can overcome with whatever that posture may end up looking like. So before we wrap things up, I'd like to thank each of you for joining us on the podcast and sharing a little about the trainee organization called Change, the community helping through action and networking toward the greatness of our environment. Frequently, a lot of times on the podcast, we hear from senior leaders and we gain a lot of great insight there, but we don't often provide a forum for the voice of the trainee, if you will. So thanks again for joining us. And just really hats off to being involved in Change. Seems like a million years ago, a young company grade officer at various bases. I was always involved in those junior company grade officer councils, usually held some kind of a leadership position. And I know just for a fact, I would not have had some of the opportunities throughout my career without being involved, being engaged, being visible. So you get your, folks are doing absolutely the right thing. Keep it up. And I'm sure that's going to lead to great success throughout your careers. So let's conclude by giving each of you your drop of the mic moment here on behalf of trainees everywhere. Sarah, let's start with you.
Yeah. So I feel very comfortable speaking for all trainees when I say that we are so incredibly thankful to have the opportunity to work at Wright Pat and serve the Air Force in the ways that we do. The experience of working here is really unlike any other, and it's so cool to play the roles that we do to support the warfighter. And it has just been such a joy to learn the ins and outs of being a buyer and understanding how we fit into the bigger picture. And being a trainee has been fun, challenging, humbling, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And so thank you, Rob, for allowing Nate and I the opportunity to share a bit about change and our experience as trainees as well.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, Rob, thanks for giving us this opportunity to speak, you know, to the folks on the podcast, because it you know, really gives us an opportunity to reflect on our experiences as co-chairs, and really more importantly, as trainees in this awesome PK workforce. You know, I feel fortunate to have had the chance to work at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, especially within the C-130 program. And I'm proud to be a part of a talented and a very dedicated team. This initiative has been an exciting, engaging experience, offering me a unique blend of, you know, challenges and opportunities for growth and development. And I would even, you know, challenge anyone listening to the podcast today that, you know, if, you know, while you heard us talk about change and, you know, hey, how can I get involved? Or, you know, hey, I would really like to participate. You know, feel free to reach out to us. You know, we would like to get people involved. You know, the more people that are there, I'm a party guy. I like to have these fun events and get people together and just really have that opportunity to network and really build and fostering those relationships. So although my career is still early in its stage, I've already had the privilege of accumulating a wealth of experience and memorable moments. And I'm eager to continue to learn and continuing growing and taking on new challenges. So I'm excited to see what the future holds, and I'm confident the skills and the relationships that I've developed will serve me well in my future endeavors. So again, we appreciate your time, Rob, and thinking about us and inviting us to participate on your podcast.
Rob, I absolutely love what I do. I never wore the uniform, but being in acquisitions for DoD means I get to serve those that serve me. I want to ensure that our men and women of the armed forces have the tools they need to get the mission done successfully, get them keep our nation safe, and get them home safely to their families. And I could not do this if I did not have the foundational building blocks that I've received here at Wright Pat through its training program, which includes being involved with Active for Change. The experiences and unique opportunities that you can get here are unmatched, and we, by far, have the coolest mission to be a part of. Get involved, and I promise you won't regret it. Change is a fantastic way to getting involved with the PK community. They do so many awesome events that help with morale and giving back. They are able to seek out and provide access to senior leaders and have meaningful dialogues in their coffee break series. It's a fantastic thing to sit in and listen to. The questions that they have for senior leaders, they're awesome. There are many different ways to get involved with change. And if you're interested in finding out more, please, please, please reach out to me, Nate, or Sarah. I also want to share this to the trainees. If you need help, reach out. Reach out to your supervisor, reach out to PKX, reach out to your colleagues. Being an 1102 in federal acquisitions is a very rewarding job, but it is not an easy one. However, there are tons of resources out there to make the job a little easier on you, and you may not know about some of them unless you ask. Now, before we leave, I also want to take a moment to thank Sarah and Nate and the Change Executive Committee. As one of their advisors, I have been thoroughly impressed by them. They have done an outstanding job of leading change and coming up with new ways to make the organization even better. It's really been a pleasure working with them. And finally, Rob, thank you. Thank you for the questions and for allowing us to talk about change and the trainee program in general. This was a great opportunity to showcase change in our truly amazing trainees.
Sarah, Nate, and Josh, Thank you so much again for sharing your experiences and insights on The Contracting Experience. This has been a great conversation, and I'm grateful you could all join us. So on behalf of The Contracting Experience podcast, all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you. And thank you to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to The Contracting Experience podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. You can also now find us on Facebook, as well as our YouTube channel. Be sure to like us, follow us, and subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I'm your host, Rob Lorton, from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. And still then, stay tuned and stay connected.